Now, there's a pretty well-known psychological experiment that not only teaches you a lot about human psychology, but it teaches you a lot about life. That they took a bunch of grade school-age kids, younger kids, probably six-year-old kids, and they came into the classroom, and they gave every one of the kids a piece of candy, chocolate bar, whatever. And they told the kids, listen, you have a choice. You can eat the candy bar right now, or you can wait for 15 minutes, and we'll leave the room. And if I come back and you didn't eat the candy bar, so I give you a second candy bar. Okay. The tester, teacher, whoever it was, leaves the room. And, you know, can move on. There are some of the kids who are just like, all right, I don't care about this. I want my chocolate bar now. I'm going to devour it. And the other ones are a little bit more self-control. And, you know, they waited the 10, 15 minutes and they got a second candy bar. Okay, so that's interesting. The more interesting part of it, though, is that they followed these kids through life. And basically, every one of these kids who are in the classroom, you know, they watched them for like the next 50 years or so of their lives to see exactly what happened with these kids. And it's almost predictable, but, you know, every kid who was able to resist and not take that candy bar in the first, you know, 10, 15 minutes or whatever, they went on to become something. They went to school, they got degrees, they were financially successful, they had good marriages, they, you know, basically they were successful in life. Whereas the other ones, okay, fine, you know, whatever. It wasn't a perfect result, but, you know, overwhelmingly, the more patience you had, the more self-control, the more you were able to look to the future, so the better you do. Now, that's not just an example with school kids. It talks to us every day. And we finished off yesterday, Perek Shiluach HaKein, with the sugya of Schar Mitzvah Bahei Al Maleko, which basically means that you want to use this world properly. So you have to realize that whatever goodies you get in this world, that's not really what it's all about. What it's really all about is Olam Haba. But how many people really live their life in this world that, you know, that this is just a praise to Olam Haba, that we have to have an eye to the future and, that, you know, forget about the present. Don't worry about the present so much. Most people are worried about what's in front of them. Now, how many chocolate bars am I going to get to eat right now? How much money am I going to be able to get right now? How big is my house going to be? How big is my car going to be? Am I going to have a PhD or some other fancy degree? Am I going to be a Rosh Yeshiva? Am I going to be a chash of a person? These are all Olam Hazeh terminologies. And that's what's in front of us right now, within the next 120 years. But if you really have an eye to the future, if you really know what's going on, so then you have to be like one of those kids who had the patience and say, listen, what's in front of us is not really what counts. What really counts is L'Netzach Netzachim, is Olam Haba. And it's one of the things that, you know, that we used to hear an awful lot from the Rosh Yeshiva. But it's an interesting thing, but I bumped into it this week. In Parshas Balak, it's a topic which talks to us very, very much out of the Parsha, out of a couple of things over here. But it's very, very important because we're at the stage in the year where everybody is thinking about their future. Everybody's thinking about their future for next year. Everybody's thinking about their future past that. And so therefore, with an eye to the future and also to the present, so it's kedai to talk about this inyan. Bilam ben Ba'or, the Rosh Yeshiva said it again, that Bilam ben Ba'or was basically the most gifted person who ever lived. What greater gift could there be than to be a Navi of the caliber of Moshe Rabbeinu? The Rosh Yeshiva said even he was a higher caliber than Moshe Rabbeinu in certain aspects. And he was a rotten guy. He was a mushchas and a menuvel, and he really didn't do too much to deserve it. It was just, you know, it was a gift. So he's the most gifted person who ever lived. But at the end of the day, we think of Bilam ben Bo'ar as being the ultimate loser. He wants to make a lot of money. He wants to curse Klal Yisrael. He ends up blessing Klal Yisrael. Okay, in there, you know, he gets some brownie points. He, like, looses the Bnei Shmayav, and he makes a lot of trouble, and there's some people die or whatever. But at the end of the day, next week, so Bilam ben Bo'ar, Hargul Ficharev, that they end up, you know, killing him, stabbing him, beheading him, whatever they did to him, he goes down as, you know, the ultimate loser. But the Gemara says that it was not really so pashut. The Gemara says, first of all, if you want to know what Bilam ben Bo'ar really wanted to do with all of his curses, so then go look at the brachas and put them into reverse. Everything that he said, he wanted to say the opposite, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu basically says, listen, I'm in charge here, and I'm going to switch it back the other way. But then the Gemara says an amazing thing. The Gemara says that after Bilam went and loosed the Bnei Shmayav on Bnei Yisrael, and Bnei Yisrael were chayte, so every single one of those brachas that he gave, every one of those poetic, beautiful brachas that he gave, they were switched back into being a klal, a netzach mitzach. So we look at Bilam as the ultimate loser, but it's not really true. We're still being haunted by those brachas turned klalas, because that's what happened because of the whole chait with Bnei Shmayav. But there was one exception to that. The one exception, says the Gemara, was the bracha of Matovu Ayalecha Yaakov Mishkanei Secha Yisrael. The bracha still remains in the Batei Knesiyos, in the Batei Midrashos, and that, despite what happened with Bnei Shmayav, that bracha still remains. Now, it's interesting. Batei Knesiyos and Batei Midrashos, if I would ask you, you know, what does that mean? You would say it means davening and learning. But that's not really it. Because why do you say Batei Knesiyos, Batei Midrashos? Just say davening and learning. Batei Knesiyos and Batei Midrashos is a tzibur of people learning, a tzibur of people davening. And yet, somehow, that bracha was immune, that bracha was inoculated to whatever happened to switch all of the brachas back into klalas. So what's going on over there? What's going on? That all the brachas, all these beautiful brachas, they get turned into klalas, and that's the way that they remain. So in the end, Bilam, in a certain way, he wins. Except for this bracha, Matovu Ayalecha Yaakov Mishkanei Secha Yisrael. Tal Matayra Barabim. Fila Betzibur. Those you can't touch. So what's going on with that? Another question is, if you look at the story, Rashi brings it out. What happens at the end of the parsha when they loose Bnei Shmayav on Bnei Yisrael? So Bilam tells Balak, Elokeim Shalelu Sainei Zima, HaKadosh Baruch Hu hates Nus, can't stand it, hates it with a passion. Sin is something that you have to eradicate, even if it's not near you. Is you run after your enemies, even if they're across the world, to eradicate them. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu hates Zima. Okay, so what happened? You have all these girls running around, or whatever it is, and you know, they're after all of the Jewish men, and they're nichshol. But then Rashi says, what happened before they were nichshol? The Gemara talks about it beferish. Before they were nichshol, she pulls out, or they all pull out, this little Aveda Zara from their pocket and say, okay, fine, now bow down to this. What's all that about? What do you need that for? That's just a distraction. Elokeim shel elush seinei zima. That means Hashem hates znus. So that's it. You won. You got the znus. You got him. What are you going to interrupt over here by having him bow down to this Aveda Zara? Just do what you were employed to do, and then that's it. And you'll turn the brachas to klalas. Make it a little easier, although we still have to understand what this is all about. The Vilna Gaon says, his Talmud says, I have a Maserah from the Vilna Gaonim from before that, that Zima, or any time that the Torah says Znus, it doesn't only mean Znus of Arayas. Znus, like in Kriya Shema, L'Sesuro Acharei Levavchem Yacharei Nechem Asher Atem Zoynim Achareihem. Acharei Levavchem is what? Minus, is Avodah Zarah. Einechem is Znus. Einechem is Arayas. Says the Goyim, anytime you have Zima, anytime you have Znus, it doesn't only mean Arayas, it means Arayas coupled with Avodah Zarah. So somehow over here, you need to have this dynamic duo, this twin towers of era, of Avodah Zarah together with Arayas, and that's what's going to knock Klal Yisrael out. That's what's going to knock out all these individuals. But what is that? What is this potion over here, you know? Why are they all called Zbo? Why are they both called Znus? Why are they both called Zima? What's the common denominator? And why do both of them work together? What are these two flavors over here of Znus that somehow, that, you know, that does the job? And finally, another interesting thing that has to do with this is going back to that parsha of Kriya Shema, Acharei Levavchem Yacharei Einechem is Znus and is Minus. The Maral talks about it, that in the Navi Daniel, when he has his dream and he sees this big monster, you know, that represents the Dalet Goliath, all the Goliaths, there are more than six, more than four, the way that they play out the dream, but basically sees this monster. And the head of the monster represents Mitzrayim. The two arms are Paras u'Madai. The torso, the body, is Yavan. And the two legs, what are the two legs? The two legs are Esav and Yishmael. Now, a person has two legs for a reason. Because if you only have one leg, so you're not going to be able to walk, right? It's not really a leg at all if you don't have two of them. So Esav and Yisroel and Yishmael go in tandem. What's Esav? Esav is Rome, is Christianity. Rashi Kimat says it beferish. He says when we talk about Minus, it means that religion that has Midrash Shtus and makes a man into a god. And what are Yishmael? What are the Arabs? The Gemara in Kiddushin says that there were 10 portions of Arayas given to the world. 9 of them our friendly cousins took. What's Olam Haba for an Arab? It's all Arayas. So those two legs, Esav and Yishmael, are the two Znuses, Arayas and Avodah Zarah. Well, let's leave off with a question over here. What does it have to do with legs? What's symbolized in the legs? Yeah, maybe you say they're the last. You know, Mitzrayim was first, and then Paras u'Madai, and Yavan after that, and the legs, they're the bottommost part. Okay, maybe. But maybe there's something else over here, something very symbolic in the legs. So what's with the legs? Why do you need in Znus? Why does Znus always mean Avodah Zarah and Gilui Arayas? And why is the antidote to this Batei Knesiyos and Batei Midrashos, and what does it mean to us? I'll tell you an interesting story that happened to me. Back in the day, it was one dinner, I remember, that it came up on the video over and over and over again. The Rosh Yeshiva used to have a blurb that he always used to say during the shmuz. It goes into kufas. I don't know. Now I don't hear him say it as much. But he always used to say, what a person has to ask himself is, is this good for my Olam Haba, or is it bad for my Olam Haba? Is this going to be give me more Olam Haba, or is it going to give me, less Olam Haba? Yes, what are we talking about? Stop thinking so much about this world. The way that you make a life decision is this going to be better for my Olam Haba, or is it going to be worse for my Olam Haba? But you want an example of a person who, I can't even say practice when he preaches, what he preaches, but just that it's just part of him. It's just spontaneously. It just comes out. I had this wild mice. One of my chasmas that I made. And, you know, whatever. One of the things that I get very spooked about It certainly has to do with me, but it's anyway, I think, you know, when you give out kibbudim and you're giving out kibbudim to big people, it's a very, very scary thing to do. I shiver from it. I really do. I shiver from it. Okay, fine. So you give out the kibbudim, and along with the kibbudim, you also have to have somebody who's going to call up the people. So I gave that job to one of my sons, you know, very mechubadik at that or whatever, but like me, he happens to be very, very nervous. Very nervous. Okay, so we get up there and we're under the chuppah, and he calls up the Masada Kiddushin, and he calls up the two Eidim, and you know, everything is going good. And then he calls up the Rosh Hashiva to get the first two brachas. Now, he made a mistake. He made a mistake because he called him up, you know, Le'aleinu Hashem Yerachim, he called him up as Harav Moshe Meiselman, Rosh Yeshiva of Teres Moshe. Now the Masada Kiddushin took tremendous offense to that. And he looks at him and he says, Hagoyin Rav Moshe Meiselman. Harav Moshe Meiselman, where's your covenant of Torah? He doesn't know my son. He doesn't know that he's nervous. He doesn't know that he didn't mean anything by it. And, you know, whatever it is, but he thought, I have to teach this kid a lesson, you know, whatever. Kid, young man, or whatever. Hagoyin Rav Moshe Meiselman. Okay. I felt so bad for him, you know, honest mistake. All right, but it got worse. The Rosh Yeshiva comes up, and, you know, as he's walking up, ready to say the brachas, the Masada Kiddushin says to the Rosh Yeshiva, he goes, I told him, Hagoyin Rav Moshe Meiselman, not a Rav Moshe Meiselman. The Rosh Yeshiva, without batting an eyelash, he says to him, I didn't realize that that's what's Koveya, my place in Olam Haba. He didn't even think for a second. It was just, he didn't know what was going on. It was like, that's the way that a person has to look at the world. Is something good for my Olam Haba? Something bad for my Olam Haba? What am I looking at? Am I looking at the here and now? Or am I looking at the future? And the Maisa, in a very, very serious way, these two chatoim of Znus, which, what does Znus really mean? Znus means that I'm looking in the wrong place. My view is skewed. Instead of looking for the long term, instead of looking and having my eye on the ball, I start to look at the crowd. I don't really know what I'm doing over here. That's the problem. The problem is that you don't have the long view. You're not looking at Olam Haba, you're looking at Olam Hazeh, and therefore we make a lot of bad decisions. The two legs in the monster represent Esav and Yishmael, Avodah Zarah and Gilui Arayos. But we ask the question, why is it the legs? Now, every aver of the human being, basically, you know, is usable when you're sitting in your spot. But what are the legs for? Again, they're not to allow you to stand. If you needed to stand, so you don't need to have two legs, just, you know, put the guy up on a pedestal or something, he's standing, right? Legs are to help you ambulate. Legs are to help you move. Legs are to help you move towards that which you don't have yet. A person is supposed to be a mahalech. A person is supposed to move and supposed to go in a particular direction. He's supposed to build his future. That's what legs are all about. Lech lecha me'artzecha. But okay, there's two ways of looking at your future. There's a way of looking at your future, and that this is the Avodah Zarah. This is the Yetzer Hara of Gilui Arayos. Yetzer Hara of Gilui Arayos is, listen, what am I really supposed to use this for? What I'm supposed to use this for is to perpetuate myself in Olam Hazeh forever. That's why a person is given a certain drive. I'm not living here for 120 years. Bez Hashem, I'll have a son, and a son after that, and a son and daughters, and in Olam Hazeh, perpetuated forever. But what does the Yetzirah of Arayas say? Forget about forever. Now. Now. So get yourself some schmutzy movies or do some worse. I will ruin your future. Don't worry about it. Now. Eat the candy bar now. Destroy your future because right now you can satisfy that desire. And Avodah Zarah, if you think about it, it's really the same thing. In Avodah Zarah, what are we really looking for? What we're really looking for is Avodah, not that Zarah, but the real Avodah. Not but the real Avodah. The real Avodah, when we're going to feel it the most intensely, is going to be La'asid Lavai, when we see V'hoya Hashem L'melech Al Kol Ha'aretz V'yoma Hu Yeh Hashem Echad U'Shmo Echad. When we see it's so clear that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is running the show, and we'll feel that attachment to Him, whoa, that's all. That's what it's going to be all about. We have to wait an awfully long time in order to feel that geshmak. So you know what another way to get that geshmak is? Worship something in front of you. Worship your money. Worship your friend. Worship a sports team. Worship an ideology like communism or materialism or hedonism. All of these things, they're all echoes of Avodah Zarah because it's here, it's now, I don't have to wait. So satisfy that urge right now without waiting until a real thing. And that's what Bilam did to us. Bilam said, Elokeim shel elu seinei zima. Why? Because he gave them a mitzvah that you're supposed to use all of these drives for the long term. You get them into a mind frame where they're going to go after their urges and they're going to satisfy right now and forget about the long term. They'll forget about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They'll forget about Hashem Echad U'Shmo Echad. They'll forget about the fact that they're here to perpetuate Klal Yisrael forever. So you messed them all up. You twisted their future and made it into a present. You took their Olam Haba and you made it into Olam Hazeh. But there is one loophole to this. And this is really not the main point, but it's a point that you got to know too. The one way out of this is Ma Tovu Alecha Yaakov Mishkanai Sechem Yisrael. Because every person, if he makes this mistake, if he lives the here and now, if he lives for candies, if he lives for money, if he lives for fame, so he can mess himself up forever. But there's one entity in the world which never falls prey to this. You know what it is? It's called Klal Yisrael. The Gemara says, Yaakov Avinu loy meis. Yaakov Avinu never ever died. The Gemara asks, he did. They buried him. And the Gemara answers, the kol zman shezaroi b'chayim, that his children are alive. See, he's still alive too. And Klal Yisrael, therefore, being the continuation of Yaakov Avinu, that tzibur of Klal Yisrael, there's no way that you can destroy that by saying, okay, you traded in your future for something which is just here in the present. So if you have that, if you're part of a tzibur, if you're part of a klal, so then you have that protection. You know, we're coming towards the end of a year, and people thinking about their future, thinking short-term future, longer-term future. And it's a very, very important thing to remember and really to make it part of your being. That what a person has to be looking towards is what is better for my Olam Haba? Am I doing this because it's more comfortable for my Olam Hazeh, or am I doing it because of my Olam Haba? It's true. You can't put yourself into a situation where you're not going to be comfortable. If you're not going to be comfortable, you're not going to be able to function. You're not going to be happy, you're not going to be able to function. But what's the goal? What's the long-term goal? What am I shooting for? What am I here on this planet for? To become someone big? For prestige? For fame? For money? Everybody knows not. They used to say, oh, listen to what they talk about Levayas. You'll never hear this stuff. It's not true anymore. You hear anything and everything in Levayas these days. Anything and everything. But on somebody's, you know, on somebody's tombstone still, on somebody's matseva, you're not going to say, oh, yeah, this guy, you know, what's it called? This guy really, you know, whatever, he really knew how to drink. Put it on his tombstone. Who knows? Maybe it is. But everybody realizes that, you know, that we're here for a higher goal. And a person has to think about this when he's making plans for next year. A person has to think about it when he's making plans, period, for the rest of his life. And he also has to realize that what always helps, even if you make a mistake, is being part of a tzibur, of being part of Yisrael Saba, being part of Yaakov Avinu Shloi Meis. Because even if I traded in my future for a sack of potatoes, you know, I don't care about my Olam Haba so much, you know, whatever. Let's just go get a beer, you know, whatever. It's just, you know, that's the way that I live. But if you're attached to a broader Klal Yisrael, that Klal Yisrael always has a future. So even though you personally may have fallen short, Kol Zman, that you're still attached to that Sibur, so then it pulls you through. These are some thoughts from Parshas Bilam, from Parshas Balak, about, you know, what these twin towers of Averis, of Avodah Zarah, Gilui Arayos really are. It's a trading in of the future of L'Netzach Netzachim for a candy bar of here and now. And it's something that we face every day of our lives. And Be'ezras Hashem, we should all plan with the long term in mind, that we have to ask ourselves, is this a good decision for me? Not just for the here and now, but L'Netzach Netzachim, how am I going to go the furthest? How am I going to grow the most? And Be'ezras Hashem, so we will all be successful and have a good Shabbos.